Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, Rob, let's get into it. The big game this weekend, a lot of NFL action, obviously, every weekend. But the big game is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys. And Amari Cooper is out. Is it COVID, Rob G? He's on the COVID list, yeah. So he looks like he's going to miss the game. But Amari Cooper is a very good receiver, so I don't want to minimize his talent.
But let me minimize him. That's what you're going to do. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying. They're going to
I don't
want right.
to minimize him, right? But let me tell you, it ain't going to matter.
Michael Gallup's back. They got CeeDee Lamb, who might be their best receiver anyway. Like, they'll be all right. All right? It's not like they only have one top receiver. So I think they're going to be fine. It hurts some, but it's not going to be an excuse should they lose. We talked about it, Rob. Tampa Bay's been without Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. Everybody's got some injuries, COVID, whatever. As long as it's not like an Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray, you know. So, anyway, that won't be an excuse. But I'm going to say this, Rob. You would typically think that the Chiefs, being, you know, the success they've had over the last 3 years, last year obviously getting to the Super Bowl, losing, winning the Super Bowl the year before, going to the AFC Championship game the year before that, and Dallas struggling mightily for the last quarter century, you would think that this, you know, would be a prove-it game for Dallas, right? I mean, they're the new kids on the block, so to speak. I know they got veterans, Zeke, Dak, and all that, but they haven't done anything. Let's just keep it real. But I feel the opposite way, Rob. I feel like this year, this is a prove-it game for Kansas City. Like, I think they've got more to prove. I think a win by them would say more about them than a win by Dallas would say about it. Now, that'd be if Dallas wins, they're going to get more love than they've already been getting. But my point is this, Rob. I think we know what Dallas is. Dallas is beating good teams. Minnesota's a good team, even though their record doesn't look like it. You know, New England obviously has proven to be a good team. They've beaten them. They've beaten the Chargers. They're legit. They're legit NFC contenders. The Chiefs, I still think they're elite, but I got to be honest. The reason I feel like they're elite is because of what they've done the past 3 years, not what they've done this year. And the reason I feel like they have a shot in the AFC is because, again, their three-year stretch before this season and the fact that there's no world beater in the AFC. Like, you look at most power rankings, it's mostly NFC teams at the top. The AFC, the best team playing right now is Tennessee, and they don't have their best player. So I think, Rob, Kansas City, yeah, they looked good last week against Las Vegas. But let's keep it real. Vegas is reeling. They lost to the Giants the week before. Henry Ruggs was not only a big loss for them on the field, one of their top receivers, but also, Rob, he killed a person with a DWI and is probably going to spend the next decade plus in prison. Yeah. That locker room is probably an emotional wreck after that.
And a kid, he's only 22. He's a kid.
Right.
And his whole life
is gone.
Imagine being a professional, making it your dream to the NFL. And in the blink of an eye, Chris, it's all over. And the Raiders are done with you. And, you know, like you're in all kinds of legal problems and your family and friends and all the people who have seen you to this point. And, yes, you're right. Teammates, you see somebody's life change in a blink of an eye.
Man.
It is a lot to overcome.
It's more than just a typical injury. So, yeah, so those are reasons, Rob. I think they proved a little something last week. It was good to see. But that doesn't mean they're back yet.
Yeah,
Sunday would mean, okay, they're back.
They have not they have not fared well against good teams at home. Lost to Baltimore. Well, but I'm just saying at home, though. This is my, like, home games. Lost to Baltimore, lost to the Chargers, lost to Buffalo, and they beat Green Bay 13-7 without Aaron Rodgers. Like, I look at those games. And if they beat Dallas at home, I think then you could say, all right, looks like they righted the ship. They got the win against, you know, it wasn't a great one, but they beat the Giants to get to 4-4. They beat Green Bay to go to 5-4. They blow out Vegas, and now they get a really good team, and they're at home, and they win. If they give up 38 points and lose 38-15 or 17 or whatever score, then you got to look and go, okay, the defense ain't fixed. Right?
You
can start to look at that. If Patrick Mahomes goes
right
back
now,
to
like the defense is fixed.
Right. If Patrick goes back to the turnovers, right? It's been a couple games now, he hasn't had any. If he throws two picks, you gotta go, okay, now what's happened here? What's going on? So I think for Kansas City, it's more so. Not that Dallas doesn't want to win or you know, they wouldn't want to, you know, punch their ticket even more, but then the division that they're in, they're going to win the division. It's a piece of cake. So that's already an advantage where the Chiefs aren't sure they're going to win the division, right? You know, like, for sure. Whereas, you know, the Cowboys will because there's nobody really else in the way. So, yeah, this is a bigger game for Kansas City. For Dallas, there's nothing Dallas can really prove, Chris, until they get to the postseason. They haven't been to an NFC championship game in 25 years. That's what it's about. Forget it, they haven't even gotten there, let alone a Super Bowl. I mean, it's been a quarter century. And they have to prove it in the postseason for people to buy into the Cowboys. People talk about the Cowboys all the time. I remember, was it 2 years ago when ESPN predicted them to go to the Super Bowl? Like, people have been saying this for years, Chris. Like, for years.
Right,
and they haven't sniffed it.
But I'll be honest, right? Like, number one, even though I think Kansas City has more to gain and more to prove in this game, I do think Dallas will benefit if they win too. And I don't mean just by their record improving, but I do think, like, if they win this game, it's a statement for them too. I just think it's a bigger statement for Kansas City. Like, if they win this game, you're really going to start to hear people talk about Dallas maybe being the best team in the league.
Yeah, but they might, depending on how Kansas City plays, they might say they are not fixed. Okay, Dallas did what all the good, like a lot of good teams have come in there and beat them. I'm not trying to say that they don't get anything from it, Chris, but it just depends on how they win the game and how Kansas City plays, how much you'll validate it. Does that make sense?
But if Kansas City doesn't play well, I think Dallas will get a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, but it'll be another example of Kansas City maybe not really being there and winning games against teams that were either emotionally spent, missing players, or just not that good. Because that's what the last three wins have been. Giants, they won 2017. Packers, 13-7 without Aaron Rodgers. And then they beat up on the Raiders. So it's
would
a big win.
Would you write off... I'm guessing you wouldn't this soon, but maybe. Would you write off the Chiefs
if
they get beaten handily?
No. Can't write them off, but I don't think you can make them the favorites of anything. I think you can't take a look and factor in the last 2 years or the last 3 years. You got to look at them for this year. If, say, they finish 8-8 9-8 or something, that would be a far cry from where they were and how how dominant they were. Right. This would be this is a different Kansas City Chiefs team than we saw the previous 3 years.
Right. But if they win big, I think people will view them again as the favorites in the AFC. If they win big, not just if they win. If they win, they get a benefit and people will say, okay, they're back again. But they'll still be kind of in that pack. But if they – and I'm talking about perception, because the bottom line, Rob, is we got so much time left that, you know, it's open. It's both conferences
are open. Ain't nothing
going
to be decided this week.
Exactly.
A period. For anybody. I don't care. I don't care. No one's going to be crowned this weekend. But I get what you're saying. If they could win or if they win in a blowout.
Yeah,
if they get blowed out, Chris, what would you think? if they got blowed out at home and they lose 42-7? I'm just throwing a score.
Like you say, I mean, if they lose 42-7, to me, the worst thing that could happen, like realistically, is something like 34-14.
Okay.
Now, obviously, that's not good either, but I cannot see something like 42-7. But hey,
no, that would be an ultimate bump.
Yeah, that would be like, oh my gosh. But to your answer your question, if they lose big, like you said, you can't write them off. They do still have the talent, but all of that goodwill and all of that confidence they reinstilled in people that are their fans from last week will be gone. And I think here's a question, Rob. You saw last week after their win over the Raiders, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, and others talked about having their swagger back, right? They talked about watching this video of this high school kid from years ago who said, "I got my swagger back." Ah! And Kelce even did it, the exact move the kid did. If that number one, Rob, that tells you their confidence was shaken, right?
There's no doubt. There's no way that they had gone through, Chris, what they had been through this year, and they could sit there and act like, well, the last 3 years. No, they had been beat up, and things had happened to them that they hadn't experienced.
Right.
Like, period.
And they admitted
it
by saying, "We got our swagger back." Okay, so you lost your swagger.
Right. Where was it?
Over the past month. Right.
Right.
So if they lose this game, especially if they get blasted, I don't think a close loss will rock them. I mean, obviously, they'll be disappointed. They'll got to go back to the drawing board. It won't rock them. If they get destroyed, that confidence, Rob, I think it's going to go again. It's going to go again. And they're going to have to try to find – they almost have to run the table at that point to really get it back to where it was.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's talk about last night's game and the New England Patriots. And I picked them to make the playoffs. I picked Mac Jones to be the best rookie quarterback, perform the best. I think Trevor Lawrence still has more upside. But right now, so far, both of those things are coming to pass at this point. And the Patriots have won 5 straight games. Last night, 25-0 over Atlanta. I know Atlanta's not very good. But what they've been doing, Rob, in their 5 straight wins, they've been blowing out the bad teams. And actually some pretty good teams they've been blowing out. We know they blew out Cleveland 45-7. Carolina's not horrible. They beat them 24-6. They beat the Chargers. Good win. They destroyed the Jets. I know it's the Jets, but they beat them 54-13. They did what you're supposed to do against a chump. And last night they did the same thing, spanking Atlanta. Rob, it was the Falcons' first home shutout, meaning first time they've been shut out at home since like the 1990s.
Watch that game, how many misplays they had in the red zone? It's ridiculous. I mean, I would have fired everybody today, Chris, because that loss and the one before this, who did they play? They got annihilated. Dallas? They got annihilated. I mean, like,
the loss before, they were smashed by Dallas. Yeah, 43-3.
What is that team has fallen so far off the map. I don't know.
They've
what
lost
that team
their
is
spirit.
Doing.
They Am weren't right? that good to begin with, but they,
no,
they
right.
lost their spirit because last night, the running backs for New England, Stevenson and Harris, we're running through dudes. I mean, and I like those backs. I like the running game New England has. But they made them look like freaking Earl Campbell's.
It was embarrassing. It was just a terrible – like at some point, like if you're Arthur Blank, and I know you don't want to just be throwing people out all the time, every time, but boy, last year, Chris, we watched them give away so many games. You remember last year? And now this year, what's gotten better? Have they gotten better?
I just don't think they're a good team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a good team.
And they're terrible. But, yeah, the Patriots.
But I do think
it's a great setup for Mac Jones with a defense, kicking game, and he's not put in a position. He's been put in a position to succeed. A lot of people thought he would have a better situation. He was drafted 15th, not in the top five or six. Those guys have all gone to horrible, horrible situations. You talked about Lawrence, Wilson with the Jets, some other guys. They're just, the teams aren't that good.
Chicago, and Justin Fields.
Yeah, it's going to be harder for you, Chris, to play because they need you to do more. The Patriots don't need Mac Jones to do more. They need him to do what they need him to do. And it's a recipe for success when you're not asking the guy to throw the ball 45 times. Like the Jets had Wilson when he had the four picks against the Patriots in the first half.
Right.
Or like, seriously, why are you throwing the ball that much, Chris? Right. Like, you can't.
Well, let me ask you this. So a lot of people are comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady. And look, let me qualify it. And I think you know this. You're always hesitant to compare somebody to an all-time great, a Tom Brady, a Michael Jordan, a LeBron James. Nobody's saying Mac Jones is going to win 7 Super Bowls or even 3, all right? Even 2. I mean, you know, nobody's saying he's going to be this all-time great quarterback like Brady. But they are so when they compare him to Brady, including me, because I think the comparisons are legit, nobody's saying he's going to be that great. But you're comparing him. What do you think about the comparisons that a lot of people, including myself again, are making with Mac Jones to Tom Brady, Rob?
Yeah, I'm not that comfortable with it. I think it's premature. I think Brady early on, you know, nobody expected much from Brady. Got a couple of breaks early on that changed the course of who he is and how that was able to manufacture itself. And then the second half was more about Brady than about the Patriots and their style.
You mean
defense.
Yeah. The last part of the dynasty, second part of the dynasty.
I think, you know, the first part was not about Brady, but the second part was more about Brady. So I don't know. And then as you talk about going forward, Mac Jones and where he fits in the AFC, there's a number of young, talented quarterbacks in the AFC. I don't think it's some automatic ride that he's going to be in that mix. There's about 3 or 4 quarterbacks who will have some say, Chris, going forward, including Patrick Mahomes in the AFC, who ain't going nowhere anytime soon.
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen,
Justin
Herbert, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, if he becomes something.
But there's 5 already, Chris, without even blinking. As what I'm saying is, I'm not so sure that Tom Brady faced that kind of young quarterbacks who are all around your age, who are going to be around for the next 10 years as you mature and get better. Like, there's no skating, even in his own division, right, in Buffalo.
Right. Right. So Brady certainly didn't have anything like that in his own division. We all know that.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And Mahomes is still out there. He's the elephant in the room.
Mahomes is young.
You have to get past him. Huh?
Well, and again, nobody's saying that, yeah, right, Jones is going to just
run
the
AFC. No, I'm just saying that the road
AFC
is
like
tougher
Brady did
than Brady had at that point. And the only guy he really was in his way was Manning. Right?
Well, I think what you said about Brady, like the first part of the dynasty not really being about Brady. First of all, I do disagree. I know he wasn't throwing for 350 yards a game and he wasn't, you know, just lighting the league on fire and all that early in his career. But it was very much, it was very, a lot about the defense, obviously, a lot about Belichick and just the way they played. But Brady deserves a lot of credit, and here's why. Because I've said it before, Rob, that team was in the dumps before Brady took over. The same team, the same defense, the same coach, They were 5-11.
I don't know if you can
Belichick's
say it's the same defense. I'm not
it changed
sure
that much in 1 year. Well, I'm yeah, a, let me make think, my case. Let
okay,
me make my
but
case.
But teams do change.
Oh yeah, they change. But,
like
you got some differences, but you okay, still had this right, great defensive
change,
coach.
But teams change year to year.
Rob, the year Brady took them to the Super Bowl, they were 0-2 before he started. So they were 5-11 the first year. They didn't just revamp everything. Yeah, obviously some changes. And then they start 0-2 with a Pro Bowl quarterback in Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, but I don't even
Brady
know who they played those
in.
Games. It's easy to look at it and go 0-2. Yeah, you can. Go ahead, but I'm just saying.
They went 11-3 under Brady in the regular season. It wasn't all schedule. Brady had something that you like to poo-poo it. Intangibles are real. And he had something that sparked those guys. According to the number. Joe Montana, ain't, you say he's the GOAT.
No,
he's not
about
in the GOAT conversation because
you.
Of his,
I
he
said
was,
to you,
had
that's
all the physical
you,
tools.
That's what you hang your hat
I'm
on. I don't buy
one.
Into it. I don't buy into
I'm
it.
Not the only one. Right, a lot of people will tell
the
you
the conversation that me and you are having, you believe in intangibles. I think that they're something that you could always point to for people who win. That I've never hear anybody say he has all the intangibles, but he can't win. It's only guys who win have intangibles.
I don't even know what that means. But anyway,
Tim Tebow has intangible. He's
yeah,
a winner.
But he doesn't have the physical ability.
Yeah, but
you
got
Rob. See, you make it all black and white, and I don't want to go here on a tangent because I want to get to the Mac Jones discussion.
Get to Mac Jones. Okay.
No. But let me finish because you interrupted. If you sit there and listen like I sit there and listen to you, we can have a conversation. But you're trying to make it all black and white. No, it's not all black and white. It's nuanced. You do need intangibles, but you obviously also need physical ability. There's like a certain standard you got to have. And Tim Tebow didn't have it at the NFL level. So that it's not that complicated. All right, but Tom Brady, to say he had nothing to do with it is ludicrous because they were a bad team before he took over, and immediately they became a good team. Now, I'm not saying he was the Tom Brady we saw with Randy Moss, but he was still had a lot to do with that run that they had. But the point I was trying to make is you saying it wasn't about Brady is more in line with Mac Jones. It's not about Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a game manager right now. But he's a smart game manager. He's a game manager with good decision making. He's a game manager who's accurate. He's a game manager who has a quick release. He's a game manager who has a good emotional makeup. All similar. And he's not like incredibly gifted physically. All of those things are similar to Tom Brady. And they're winning largely because of the defense and the run game. And then they got a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. That's what they did with Tom Brady. And so I think the similarities are there's a lot of them. It's just like if you look at Trae Young when he first came in the league and you compared him to Steph Curry. You're not saying he's going to be as great as Steph, but the similarities are obvious. If you look at Kobe Bryant early in his career, you weren't saying he's going to win 6 rings like Michael Jordan and 2 three-peats. But the similarities, the game, the mentality, the size, it was there. And that's what I'm saying. That is legitimate. Doesn't mean they're exactly alike or Mac's going to have the success of Brady. We may never see another quarterback have the success of Brady. But the similarities are legitimate.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You were heated, Rob. And we joke about, you know, the Shekel City and all that, your bets. But you were heated that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Otto Porter Jr., and who's the fourth guy, Rob G? Andre Iguodala. Right. Who sat out the game Golden State against Detroit. And they're putting it on. You know, Pistons are just horrible. 101-87
with five minutes to go.
But that's not even the issue. But you were upset.
Did you see
that
the Nets took the lead in that game?
Did they?
Against Orlando?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I see it. Yep.
Boston is running away a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the end of this game.
Yeah.
Okay. But go ahead. You're bothered. Yeah.
My point is, Chris, like, I feel for fans. I really do. Chris, we're fortunate. How many games in our 35-year career that I've gotten in to see for free?
Right.
Right? Because I'm working. We're working. So I never lose sight of that I'm getting in for free because I'm doing a job. And people are paying their hard-earned money to go to games, Chris. It's important. For some people, they might only get to go to 2 or 3 NBA games a year or 1 football game. They're not going to every game.
A lot of diehard fans can't go to Harley because any, Rob.
The tickets cost so much money.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm amazed that they fill these arenas every night.
Right. Because sometimes, Chris, it's birthday gifts. It's a Christmas gift sometimes for kids. Like, I remember that year when LeBron didn't go to Memphis, and it was right near Christmas. And all these kids, it was their Christmas gift, Chris, to see LeBron James live. Yep. Like, that was their Christmas gift, and they were hurt. But anyway, my point is, in Detroit, that was the hottest ticket, probably the highest ticket priced for the year. Pistons are terrible, but this was a night to be able to see Steph Curry play live. Draymond Green is from Michigan, Chris, okay? So he's coming back home. The Warriors come to Detroit once a year. That's it. One trip. And people pay their money, a chance to see Steph, and he's playing great, and none of these guys are playing. I think it's unfair. I think it's a bummer. And I think fans need some sort of, I don't even know, Chris, do we start a company where you pay for insurance on your tickets? Seriously, like there's something.
Well, the problem, obviously, with that is you'd probably end up paying out. Yeah, you'd be, well, that, but beyond be that, you'd be paying more for what do you make the insurance rate? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
my point is, for the little guy, and the average Joe, I just think it's unfair. I just think, like, you want to buy tickets, you got to buy them in advance, Chris. You can't wait till the day of the game because it's scalpers. Right. So, for the most part, you got to plan ahead. You get the schedule. Hey, Steph Curry and the Warriors
are coming. And they promote that, Rob.
Come see Steph Curry and the Warriors. It's a Friday night in downtown Detroit. We'll make a night of it, Chris. We'll go get some drinks after. We'll have a night out. It'll be great. Yep. And then you pick up you hear ESPN saying they're not playing tonight. It gotta tear your heart out.
Nah, look, you can't disagree with what you're saying. You just can't. And I look, first of all, let me state this, and I think you agree. I'm not mad at the Warriors because if other teams are gonna rest players and get an advantage come playoff time because their star sat out 12 games that he didn't need to, then you can't blame the Warriors or another team for doing the same thing. However, it's a league issue, and the league did try to buckle down last. Remember the no resting rule, you know, all that stuff. It's hard to police, though, because, I mean, gave injuries for Steph and Draymond and you know, Iguodala and all these guys. They named some injuries. But I know it's unrealistic, I guess. But, Rob, I'm a stickler, and I've talked to older players, former players, and they've said this. If you don't want to play 82,
right,
then cut the season.
Right.
If the science now is telling you,
65 games, right.
That's the max. The body can't take it, especially,
well,
you know.
Play 65 and play all of them unless you're hurt. Because the one thing, and I hate to go back, we're not being Joe old guys on the radio, but Michael understood the fans, Chris. Like, they came to see him.
Yeah,
he played his last season in Washington. He played every game. I know it was his swan song. He played
as a 40-year-old. He was 40 when that season ended. And Rob, I think there's another element too, though. Michael Jordan, and this, I hadn't thought about this, and I don't know if it's a tie-in or not, but you always talk about guys wanting to compete back in the day. Isaiah Thomas didn't want to play with Patrick Ewing.
Right.
He wanted to beat Patrick. He could have. And he could have teamed with Patrick Ewing to try to beat Michael Jordan again.
Could have easily. Could have happened.
Yeah. They didn't want that. And that speaks to, that's competition. Michael Jordan wanted to play every single game. He wanted to.
Yes.
You're right. He understood the responsibility to the fans. But, Rob, you know Jordan. I know Jordan. That wasn't really it.
No.
This dude just wanted to go out there and play.
Who didn't want to play?
And I
ball?
Got 82
like
chances
playing in
to
the
play.
NBA,
yes.
And you're healthy. Why are you not playing? I don't know.
Right.
Why?
And that's whether it's the competition, the not as being as competitive, whether it's they make so much money now, whatever the case, that's a difference. And I really am like, look, if the science is telling you, if your body is telling you, you can't play 82, cut the freaking season. And Mark Cuban, the owner for the Mavericks, Rob, he said this. Eventually, you couldn't do it right away the first year, but eventually you could raise the ticket prices because every game means more to where you can come close, if not making up that money that you lost. And so I'm just tired of, I just think it's a farce. I think it's fake to have an 82-game season, but yet concede that guys are only going to play 70.
Right. I agree. I think it's not fair. And I think, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, Chris, but I think there's some, that there's a loophole where people could sue and say, you know, I heard the ad that said, come see Steph Curry. Like, you know, in the award
they
shows.
Teams do packages, Rob.
Yes.
You know, Warriors, Lakers. You know, LeBron, Steph, James Harden, Kevin Durant. Like, that's how you think Detroit's selling tickets? I mean, I know
right.
They got fans there, but, you know.
No, but tonight was probably a sellout, Chris, or probably close to it. And that was because they thought they were going to see Steph Curry tonight. And they got nothing. Even Draymond Green is coming home.
From there, from Michigan, right.